Good morning. It's another beautiful Lord's Day. Seems like we keep adding more and more. Amen. Amen. God is blessing. God is answering prayer. God is answering prayer. If you're here today, I was praying for you. Yep, I've been praying for all of you. God is answering prayer, and we need to continue to pray for one another because we all need it. We all need to pray for each other. You know, sometimes in life, the people that you're praying for are going to have to pray for you maybe, but we all should be praying for one another. We all might have to come and help each other out. Amen. In the military, we call our buddy, we call them battle buddies. Everybody had a battle buddy. So when you had trouble, you turned to your battle buddy. We all should be each other's battle buddies. Amen. Because the devil is at war against us. Amen. And we all need to come together and rally around one another and support each other because we do need each other. Amen. We all need each other. Amen. This morning, I want to continue our study on fasting. Fasting and prayer, they go together. Fasting is a part of what Jesus did. We saw in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. Our two previous lessons, they sought to educate us on the subject of fasting as found in the Old and the New Testament. And in this lesson this morning, we are going to directly address the questions that were brought up on this subject. And one of them is should Christians fast today? If so, why? And when would they do it and how? So should Christians fast today? What do you say, church? Should Christians fast today? Are there things that we should be fasting about? And should fasting and prayer go together? Should Christians fast today? Yes. And I say yes because of the teachings of Jesus. As was read by our brother George earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 17, hear Jesus on the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. He says, "And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as do the hypocrites, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." That's what Jesus says. He didn't say, if you fast, he says, when you fast. And that's pretty interesting because most people, I've never really heard anybody really suggest that we as Christians should be fasting. But when we look at this particular text, the Sermon on the Mountain, Jesus is saying here in verses 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 6, "And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast," not if you fast, "anoint your head and wash your face." So it's something that you do in secret, something that is not an outward thing, because who is it that you're trying to get attention when you are fasting and praying? Is it not our Heavenly Father? The one that's in secret. So it's not necessarily something that we say, "I'm on a fast," and you got a big sign on your head, I'm fasting, look at me, I'm fasting. No, Jesus said it's something that you do in secret, something that is to incur the favor of God. That's how we should fast. He said they would fast when he's gone. And we look over at Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. A question came up about Jesus' disciples. You know, it's always interesting that there are always questions about somebody else's disciples or about somebody else. And I like the way that the Bible lays itself out and let us see these different conversations and questions that came up during the ministry of Jesus. Here in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?'" That's an honest answer. That's a good question, isn't it? But then in verse 15, "And Jesus said to them, 'The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will do what?'" Jesus hasn't come back yet, has he? He's not back. He's not back. But he's on his way. And according to what Jesus was saying here in Matthew 6 and Matthew 9, it seems as though, or it suggests that since he's not here, that's when his disciples would do what? Are we not his disciples? Are you a disciple of Jesus? We're all disciples of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And I believe all of you that are Christians today are disciples of Jesus. And Jesus said when he's gone that his disciples would do what? They would fast. So he taught his disciples how to fast. We've looked at Matthew 6, 16 through 18 several times. And of course, the proper way to fast is to be done properly to incur the favor of God. It's something that should be something that's not to be seen of other people, not with a sign on our heads, but it's to be done in secret when we do fast. And one thing I forgot to even bring into this lesson is that there are some people that need the advice of their doctors when they fast. That's something I didn't bring out, but I assume that everyone knew that about fasting and the effects of fasting. Some people may not be able to fast for long periods of time, and so you should be advised by your doctor. That's the disclaimer for fasting that I'll give you. That's as far as I'll go. But you should consider your health when you are fasting. Amen? Okay, so should Christians fast today? And it's yes. And it's because we have examples of the church fasting. The brethren at Antioch. We turn over to Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, 2, and 3. That's Acts chapter 13. Looking at verses 1, 2, and 3. Acts chapter 13, looking at verses 1, 2, and 3. Here the Bible says, "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So here we have in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, in the church in Antioch, there was fasting in their service to the Lord. They were fasting and praying when they were sending out Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. So we have scripture for Christians doing what? They were fasting. Let's go ahead and go on over to the next chapter, Acts chapter 14, looking at verses 21, 22, and 23. Looking at the church in Galatia. Acts chapter 14, looking at verses 21, 22, and 23. Here it reads, Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. "And after they had preached the gospel to the city and had made many disciples, They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed and fasting with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So there was fasting in every church in Galatia as they were appointing elders. Before they appointed elders, there was prayer and there was what? There was fasting. It's in the Bible. It's in your Bible, is it not? Did you read it in your Bible? I like when people can read it in their Bible so you can refer to it at any time. So if you want to know a scripture that I've said, I want you to be able to see it in your Bible. If you missed it, come talk to me, and I can show you in the Bible. Amen? It's important that we find it in the Word of God, because it's God that we're following, not Solomonism. It's God. The power is with God. God is our creator, and he's the one that wrote the manual for us. This is the Bible here, and we need to follow God's word. Amen? It's not my word. It's God's word, and we need to follow God's word. Should Christians fast today? Yes, because Paul fasted as a minister of Christ. Let's look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, looking at verses 23 through 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, looking at verses 23 through 28. Second Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28. Here Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. He says, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Paul did go without food. He said without food. He went without food. And so that was part of his ministry, is to go without food. So are we not commanded to imitate even the one that was imitating Christ? And that's the Apostle Paul. He was imitating Christ, was he not? Did Christ fast? Did Jesus fast? Are we not his children? Aren't we not Christians? Are we Christians? And who should we follow? We're following Christ all the way to heaven. Amen. And so we should be more and more like Jesus every day. That's our goal, is it not? Didn't Christ die for us? I didn't die for you. Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for the whole world. And so we need to follow after Jesus. Amen. It's so important that we follow Jesus and follow what he has shown us in the scriptures. So why should Christians fast? People fast today for various reasons. Some purposefully for health reasons. You have the intermittent fasting. Some without thinking in times of grief and sorrow. Sometimes when you're sorrowing and you're in grief, people bring all this food over because they know that you're really not thinking about eating. And I just appreciated it when my dad passed that people brought all that food over. I ate a lot of it. I helped eat a lot of it. But I wasn't necessarily thinking about food at that time. Because when you lose somebody, it really grabs your attention. It grabs your attention. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. It really is, because you really begin to think about leaving this world when you see a loved one die. Death is really on the mind. And so food isn't always something that's on your mind during that time. Why do people fast? Others, in an effort to gain some kind of self-control when they're trying to fast. That's the reason why they fast. But why should Christians fast? Christians should fast for many reasons. This is consistent with the majority of fasting in the Old Testament. They fasted in times of war or at the threat of war. Israel did. David fasted when his son was sick. Remember, he fasted for 7 days. And then when he heard the people talking, his servants talking, he said, "What's going on?" And they were afraid to tell him that the baby had died. And once he found out that the baby was dead, David got up, cleaned himself up, and did what? He ate. The fast was over. When seeking God's forgiveness, Daniel, when he was praying, he was seeking God's forgiveness. He was fasting. Ezra, when he was seeking God's protection as they were going back to the land that they were from, they were fasting. This is also consistent with the examples of fasting in the New Testament. They fasted. Jesus fasted while dealing with temptation for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And in Antioch, when serving the Lord, as we looked at earlier, in Antioch, when beginning a work for the Lord, in Galatia, when selecting and appointing elders, they were fasting. Such fasting should be done in conjunction with prayer. It's so important that we put those together. Fasting should be done properly. If we look over back in the Old Testament, look over at Psalm 35:13. It talks about humbling the soul. Let's turn our Bibles there. Psalm 35, verse 13. Psalm 35, verse 13. Psalm 35, 13, he says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with what? Fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom." So there's that prayer and fasting. Also, if you turn over to Psalm 69, verse 10. Psalm number 69, verse 10. Psalm 69:10, he says, "When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach." So we have here many examples of fasting and praying. So the next question that we want to deal with this morning is, when should Christians fast? And the answer to that is, whenever occasions requiring divine help should arise. When we're ordaining elders or thinking about ordaining elders, when we're doing anything that is challenging, we should seek the Lord. We should fast. We should take that time and set it aside to be able for fasting and prayer. And as was qualified by Jesus in Matthew 6, it should be something that we do in private. It should be something that should be done in private. But there are occasions when we're talking about congregational level fasting, as in appointing elders and sending out missionaries. That would be a time when there's a group effort. And we can see that in Scripture, that the group as a totality, they were doing what? They were fasting. They were fasting. And so it's very important that fasting is something that we think about in our lives as Christians. But there are times for fasting. The final point this morning is, how should Christians fast? Christians should fast not to be seen of men, as we saw in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Not as some ritual or regular ritual, Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Not without true repentance. Now we need to turn over to this passage here in Isaiah 58, 3 through 9. This is really important that you get this one. When we fast, we should do it with true repentance. But look at Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 through 9. Isaiah chapter 58, looking at verses 3 through 9. He says, "Why have we fasted and thou dost not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and thou dost not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I chose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed, and for spreading our sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I chose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness." If we are going to fast, we need to have true repentance. Amen. We've got to be serious in coming before God. We need to wash our hands of our sins as we come to God in prayer and as we come to God in fasting. God is always calling all to repentance. Amen. All to repentance. There's not a sinner he does not call to repentance. Sometimes people are saying that, my sin is just fine. I don't need to repent. But the God that we serve, the God that made the universe, calls all to repentance. Amen. And so if we're going to fast, we need to be serious about our relationship with God. If we need to repent and make changes in our lives, that's what we need to do. Amen. So that God can respond to us from heaven. Amen. God's not going to respond to us in a positive way if we are not living our lives right. Amen. And so I beg you and encourage you today, if you're not right with God, get right with God today. If you're not a child of God today, you need to know what you need to do to obey. The Bible tells us that you've got to believe that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins and the sins of the whole world, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day. Amen. So he died for you, he was buried for you, and he rose again for you. Amen. So that you can have a right relationship with God. So you've got to believe the gospel message. You got to repent of your sins. Repentance is a change of heart. You start thinking like God, I want to serve God. I want to serve Jesus for the rest of my life, all the way into eternity. Amen? You're serious about your relationship with God. You look at sin as something that you despise. I don't want to sin against God anymore for the rest of my life. That's how serious you are. Amen? and then confess Jesus' name before men, and then be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. When you're baptized into Christ, that's where that old life dies. All of the old thinking dies, and all of your sins are washed away in the watery grave of baptism. And you come up out of that liquid tomb a new creature in Christ with a new mind that you belong to Christ now. And everything and every decision is based off of what Christ wants you to do for the rest of your life. Whatever your need is this morning, why don't you make it plain by coming to the front as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.